Well, I'm going to speak to you tonight a message that is in keeping with the book of Revelation and the end times. This is kind of a precursor to our message of unexpected fire, the book of Revelation, that I will be starting in about a month. And the title of this message is The Great Trembling. The Great Trembling. So I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to read to you verse 26. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Lord Jesus, we say yes to all that you would teach us today. We open our hearts and we ask that you would adjust our thinking, that you would give us revelation, that you would inspire us, that you would, Lord, help us to be in the place where we might partner with you in the end time purposes of God. And now we ask for perspective. We ask for teaching and encouragement. We ask for your glory on the word of God. We pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this scripture says that there's coming a great shaking. It says that everything that can be shaken on the earth will be shaken. That means you. That means your family. That means Fort Mill. That means Charlotte. It means the Carolinas. It means the United States of America. It means England and Russia and China. Everything, the Bible says, that can be shaken will be shaken. And at the end of the day, only those things that are of the kingdom of God will not be destroyed or shaken. Now, this should tell you something, that in the great tribulation, Christians will be unshakable. Too many Christians have got a wrong perspective of the end times because they see the shakings that are coming in the great tribulation and they realize that the whole world's going to be in a mess. But what they don't realize is that the Lord has a special clause. It's like a lawyer's clause, an exception clause. It's for the people of God. The scripture says that everything will be shaken except for the things that are of the kingdom of God. So just say, "I am of the kingdom of God. My whole life is of the kingdom of God." Well, I know you're working on it. And that's what's happening. And there's a transformation taking place, so that will be absolutely true. And that means you are unshakable. Do you know you cannot die until God says it's your time? You can't, unless you're outside of the will of God and in some heavy sin and you've stepped away from his protection, and or if you're just foolish, you know, if you want to jump off a cliff, you can make it happen. However, you can't die if you're walking in the will of God until it is the Lord's time. You are unshakable. I've been around the world and in so many mission fields where I've faced death. I've seen, and some of you who are with me saw somebody stoned to death right in front of our eyes. I've been in a political mob in India where people were pushing our cars and I thought they were going to tip the car over. It was absolutely violent all around us. I've been in Burundi where they speak Kirundi. And I've been there when the police came up to me because I was a stranger. They could tell by the color of my skin and wanted to arrest me. And if not for a pastor friend, I would have been dragged off to prison in that place. And in some of those places, once you go there, you get forgotten about. I have been behind the Iron Curtain when the wall was still up in Eastern Europe and was taken in and interrogated and was in pretty awkward situation. There had been many times when I could have been imprisoned. I've been chased by angels. I've had poisonous snakes go between my legs in India or in Africa. I don't want to tell you all the stories about me. I just want to say that I have this huge angel that watches over me. And I'm unshakable because I belong to God. I'm a child of the King, and so are you. I'm not blowing my own horn. I'm saying this is our testimony. This is your testimony that you're unshakable. Now, there are three parts to this message. The first part is the worldwide shaking that's already come in part, and more of it is coming. The second part of this message I call the problem with yeast. And the third part of this message is the great trembling. The great trembling. And the trembling is a good thing. I've seen it already in the people of God. I've seen it individually, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And people all through history have had times of when their body starts to tremble. They can't help themselves. There's an anointing, a power move on them. And if you're a person that every time you get prayed for, you begin to tremble, I believe it's an apocalyptic sign for most people. Now, it could be a demonic thing if somebody doesn't love the Lord and are not walking in the ways of the Lord. But somebody in our congregation, that's not the case. But I've seen it where it is. But I believe it is a sign of things about the future, because everything that's going to happen in the days to come are already happening in a foreshadow in small ways today. And so there's a trembling that's going on. So that's going to be the third part of this message. Well, let's just start off, and I'll do my best to expedite this message quickly. The first thing that I want to talk to you about is the worldwide shaking. Because the scripture has just said to us that once more the Lord will shake both heaven and earth. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Therefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let's praise God. Let's worship Him. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, this shaking has never been more evident on a global scale like in the 20th century. In all the thousands of years, the 6,000 years of human history since the time of Adam and Eve, there's never been a shaking like what has happened in the last 100 years in the world. In the First World War and in the Second World War, the whole globe was turned upside down. If you're not a historian, you might not realize the catastrophic kind of things that happened in the world. Huge empires and kingdoms that had been functioning for thousands and thousands and thousands of years were destroyed in the past 100 years. In the 20th century, including, and this happened in World War I, the Ottoman Empire, which was a Muslim empire, which ruled for more than 500 years, was destroyed. The Chinese dynasties were destroyed, which were 4,000 and 5,000 years old, and they came to an abrupt end in the last 100 years. You might have seen the movie The Last Emperor. The Russian Empire with its czars, which ruled for thousands of years, was completely destroyed in the 20th century. In World War I, those and others were destroyed. Now, World War II was just a continuation of the First World War. I'm talking to you about the Lord saying that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The world has been turned upside down in the age in which we live in and the age of our grandparents. And in the Second World War, the Dutch Empire was destroyed. The Spanish Empire was destroyed. Do you know the Spanish Empire was Spain at one time in history had the largest empire in the world. The Spanish Empire was destroyed in the Second World War. And so was the British Empire. They used to say the sun never sets on the British Empire because they had so many colonies around the world that you couldn't, get to a place where you would be in one colony without seeing another one on the horizon, except perhaps if you're out on the ocean. But the sun was always at some time shining on the British Empire. It was completely destroyed in World War II. The French empires crumbled. And during that same time, Israel was born. And Marxism spread to between a third and a half of the world's population became communist in this last 100 years. And half of the entire world population of Jews in the nations were killed during the Nazi Holocaust, and a great number besides when the communists took over. So the whole world, I hope you can put that together. What I've just described to you happened in the 20th century. The shakings, everything that could be shaken on the empires was shaken. It happened on national and kingdom scales. It's not finished. The shakings are not finished. In fact, World War I and World War II were horrible. They were horrific. I have nothing good to say about war, except perhaps that it should defend the oppressed and the downtrodden. But the shakings that are coming are much worse than that. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Now, why? We're coming into part two of this message. And the second part of this message I've called the problem with yeast. You know what the scripture says about yeast? Jesus makes it very clear. He said, Mark chapter 8, verse 14, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, is it because they have no bread? Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? And he told them about all that had happened with the multiplication of the loaves. But Jesus warned them. He said, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. Now, it's interesting that Herod and the Pharisees were really the two different groups of rulers over the land. Herod represented the political rulers, and the Pharisees represented the religious rulers. And the yeast is a kind of sin. In this case, it speaks of evil and corruption. Evil intent and corruption. He says, be careful about the evil that is used in the name of religion. Be careful about the corruption that is there in the name of religion. And be careful about the corruption that can come through politics. But that's not the only thing that he says about yeast. For he talks about hypocrisy. He says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which is hypocrisy. And that you'll find, I'm just going to give you the quote, you don't need to go to it, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when somebody puts on a show. They fake it. They act. It actually means to be an actor. And you might say, yeah, all those people are bad. But the Lord says, be careful about the yeast that's in the church. And we go to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 5. And it says in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival not with old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. I have written you in my letter not to associate with the sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of the of this world who are immoral. He says, but the people in the church. That's what he says. Verse 11, but now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother who is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. So if somebody is in the church, and that is, I'm not talking about somebody who falls or somebody makes a mistake and they sin, but I'm talking about somebody whose lifestyle is as a swindler. Their lifestyle is sexually immoral. Their lifestyle is wickedness. And they claim to be a brother in the church. The scripture says, don't connect with those people. So, of course, if somebody falls, you restore them. Restore such a one. But we're talking about somebody who has a lifestyle. So this yeast is not just the kings and the presidents, the Herods. It's not just the religious leaders in some big ecumenical church. But it's right in the church. The yeast, the problem with yeast is that it gets everywhere. And if you go to Galatians, you'll find it involves teachers. In that scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, let's start in verse 7, it says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not know what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. And then it goes on to give a whole long list of sinful things. That's in verse 17 to 19. But if we go back to verse 7, it says, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? What kind of persuasion does not come, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you? A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. And he's talking here about the Jewish people who have been converted to Christ, who then want to make everybody a Jew. The title of the word for these is Judaizers. And they were coming and saying, if you're really going to be a Christian, you have to keep all the feasts. You have to eat food kosher. You cannot eat any more pork chops. They were saying, you have to grow the hair on the corners of your head. You have to wear tallit, and you have to wash your hands and ceremonial washings and do all of these kind of things. You have to keep the Sabbath every Friday night. And if you don't, you are breaking the Jewish law and you cannot be a Christian. That's what the Judaizers were saying. There's a lot of Judaizers today. You know, I'm Jewish, and I love all of those roots, but they all point to Christ. So there's a lot of those things that can be done, and probably if I lived in Israel, I would do a lot of those things for the sake of my Jewish friends. But I'm with a different band of friends here, and I'm not under that law. But I have a fulfillment of that law in me. I don't reject that law. I just have a fulfillment of it. But here, Paul says, beware of false teaching. That is a yeast. So the yeast, I said, beware of the yeast. Watch out for the yeast. So what kinds of things are typified in the scripture as yeast? Well, evil, wickedness by leaders, government leaders, and corruption by government leaders and religious leaders. False teaching that causes people to come under guilt, manipulation, and all kinds of pressure. Immorality, such as living a lifestyle of sexual immorality or greed or idolatry. Hypocrisy. Those are all different kinds of yeast. And you know what a yeast is? It's the leaven. It says you just put a little bit in, and after a while it affects everything. That's the nature of sin, isn't it? When somebody starts to sin, that thing starts to grow inside of them. It becomes like a drug that somebody who becomes addicted to that sin can't seem to stop doing it. And then it's like that yeast that causes the bread to rise. Well, it causes something to rise inside of you. And this is the problem that's in the world today. This is why the whole world is experiencing a huge shaking. This is why there's corruption in the world. It's because of the yeast. It's because the wickedness that the Lord has told us to be careful, to watch out for those kind of things. But the people of the world, and not just them, but the people in the church, have been taking the yeast. And it has been growing and growing. It's in our universities. Unless you are a liberal theologian, a person with at least a liberal mindset, so that you believe in abortion and you believe in the gay agenda, and you believe in a lot of other things that the Bible doesn't believe in and doesn't teach, then you can be a professor if you're otherwise qualified. But if you take a strong biblical stand, you will have a hard time to be a professor in any university, except for perhaps the Christian ones. It's in our media, this leaven. See, those professors, they're like the priests of this religion. They teach all of the young people who are coming in. They're teaching the lawyers. They're teaching the teachers. They're teaching the engineers. They're teaching the surgeons. They're teaching the politicians. They're teaching the people who very soon will run the nation. They're explaining to them the liberal agenda. It's a leaven. It's that leaven that Jesus said, watch out for the leaven. A little leaven wrecks. It affects the whole loaf. So it's not just in the universities. Of course, it's in the media. Media is not just the news. It's also your comedy sitcoms, your comedies on TV, the movies that come. There is, in most of them, not all, but in most of them, a liberal agenda. And so they can get you laughing and laughing and laughing while immoral things are happening before your eyes and ungodly things are happening. But the situation is so comical that you laugh at it. It goes inside of you. A little yeast, a little leaven starts to affect everything. And then your young people who are watching these things all the time and laughing all the way to a change of their ideology and their thinking. It becomes what Jesus warned us about. And it becomes so pervasive through the educators. And then it becomes so pervasive through the media. And then anybody who cuts across that grain, once it builds, once the loaf has risen, the loaf of sin and lawlessness and godlessness, once it has grown in society, if you take a stand against it, all of a sudden you're the lunatic. All of a sudden you're the one who's out of line. Because the sinful lifestyle becomes the natural lifestyle. After all, we don't live in the Victorian age. After all, we're not in the Dark Ages anymore. Well, I don't know about them, but I'm still in the God age. I haven't left that one, and nor have they. They just don't realize it yet. So this is in society in such a huge way. And this leaven, this yeast, has caused the whole world to shift. The United States has been in a cooker since before the Beatles came. And there's a lot of young people who don't even know who the Beatles are. But since the Second World War, there's been a ramped up cooking cycle. And the yeast of ungodliness has risen slowly, almost invisible in the United States of America. And it gets to a place where it seems that nothing can be done. You might be hanging on and think, well, I don't think it can get much worse than this. But you're deceived. Because darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness will cover the people. This is not talking about the sky. It's talking about the hearts of people. Darkness will come. We might say, well, how does that darkness come? I've often looked at history and seen all the murderous wars and the terror that's taking place and has taken place. And I think, how can people do these things? How can they do these things? How is it that somebody, Adolf Hitler, how is it that some person born of a mother and raised in a civilized country, the country that Luther came into and led a reformation there, and the whole of the country took on the Lutheran church as their national church. And this man grows up in that society. How can somebody like that become so vile, so hideous in his wickedness? How does it happen? How does it happen? Well, beware of the yeast, because that's what's there. How is it going to turn around? Well, that's what my third point is about tonight. I want to talk to you now about the great trembling. So we've looked at the worldwide shaking, which we're not all the way through. We're just halfway through it. It will get worse. And we've looked at the problem with yeast. And now let me talk to you about the great trembling. And for us to look at this properly, let's go to the book of Hosea. And I'm going to show you something that is absolutely remarkable. The book of Hosea, chapter 3. We're going to read the chapter. It's only 5 verses. Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "The Lord said to me," He's speaking to Hosea. Go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer of lethek of barley. Then I said to her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. For the Israelites, this is what God tells Hosea. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idol. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord, their God, and David, their king. And they will come trembling, say, come trembling, to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Now, I don't recommend that any of you do what God told Hosea to do. This is not a pattern for anybody here to follow. If you have a spouse who has gone into a very sinful lifestyle and you've become separated because you cannot partake in that, and then to go back. The only reason that anybody could ever do that and ever should do that is if God breaks all the rules and tells you to do it, like he told Hosea, which is not normal. It is very far from being normal. And I would always recommend and counsel somebody not to do that. But this is something that is about the life of a prophet. Some of you would like to be a prophet. Be careful. If you're a prophet, God may have you do weird things. And this prophet, Hosea, had a wife. And she left him, and she became a prostitute. And she became so demonized with her prostitution that she became an addict. And she couldn't get away from it. And after a while, she was sold into slavery as a prostitute. And it was so dark and so wicked. And here was the man of God. Just imagine the man of God. Think of some man of God, a great man of God. Somebody like Billy Graham. Somebody who stands out as very precious, very much filled with the word of God. And their wife went into a life like that. And lived that way for a long time. So just imagine, every day has 3 or 4 partners. And the months go by and the years go by. And maybe Hosea would just pray for her. And then God comes to the prophet and says, go and get your wife and bring her back and marry her again. That would be a real challenge, I imagine. Whether it is the woman going back to a man or the man going back to a woman, it's the same. It says, go and marry her again and live with her, because you are to be a demonstration of what I am going to do with Israel. The Lord has said, that is what Israel has done to me. They've treated me like that. In the last days, I'm going to marry Israel again. That's what he says. And so Hosea goes and he buys her because she is a slave. She's a prostitute slave now. He can't just go and convince her. He has to buy her from her pimp. And if you read through and you study it in the scripture, you'll find that slaves at that time were, if there was a war, a person could be taken and made a slave. If somebody owed you a debt, $100,000, and they could never pay it, rather than put them in prison, you became their slave. And you worked in their house until your debt was paid. Sometimes it might be for the rest of your life, because that's how big the debt was. And then there were slaves that were sex slaves. A horrible thing in the world today. If God ever calls you to work in that way and to break the chain and the oppression of sex slavery in some way or another, God bless you. So Hosea goes and he buys her. He buys her for half the price of a normal slave. The price is given there. And he buys her for half of the normal price of a slave. And then he brings her and he says, "Now I own you. Do not go back with any man. Do not be a prostitute anymore. And don't be intimate with any man. You're going to live with me for a long time. I'm your husband." And he's to love her. The Lord says, go and marry her and love her. And then he says, that's what Israel has done. She's gone to the Baals and the Ashtoreths and to all the other gods. She loves her raisin cakes. And you might say, well, I like raisin cakes too, actually. The little Debbie makes one. Well, it's not about them eating raisin cakes. It's about offering them to the gods, to the false gods, to the gods of the harvest, Baal and Ashtoreth. And they love to go and make sacrifice of these. It's not really a cake. It's like raisins all smushed together into a block called a raisin cake. And they would offer that on the fire. They loved to offer it so that their harvest would be good. They were looking to these gods for witchcraft purposes so that their harvest would be plenteous. He says they've gone after other gods and they've abused each other and they've gone into sinful living and they love their raisin cakes. He says all of these things have been an abomination. He says for the Israelites will live many days without king or prince. Actually, for thousands to almost 2,000 years, they didn't have a nation. They didn't have a king. They didn't have a prime minister. They were scattered among the nations of the world. They were without sacrifice and without sacred stones, the Urim and the Thummim. They were without an ephod, the mitre hat of the priest. They were without a priest. It speaks of his authority. And afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, which is a type of Jesus, their Messiah. It says, after a long while, they will return and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Now, this is what's going to happen. I'll share it with you like this. It won't just happen in Israel. It'll happen in the church, in America, and around the world. And it won't just happen in Israel and the church. It's going to happen to families and to individuals. There's coming a move of God. Because the whole world has experienced worldwide shaking. And the Lord says, everything that can be shaken, will be shaken. This whole planet and every system, every part of it, every organization, every family, every nation is going to be shaken to the core. And those things of the kingdom of God will remain. They're unshakable. But everything else will be shaken and broken down and brought to a place. And it's because judgment is coming to the world. It's coming because of the yeast, because of the leaven that mankind has willfully put into the cake. Sin, corruption, evil, hypocrisy, immorality, false teaching, all of those things. This whole world is rocking in spirituality, but that doesn't mean it's the right kind of spirituality. There's yeast. Beware of the least of the religious leaders, the Pharisees. Just in recent times, I'm talking about within the last couple of months, I have had somebody come to me, a young man. I'm not talking a boy. I'm talking about somebody who's a professional, an outstanding professional artist, very highly educated, master's degree level, who is extremely prophetic, very gifted, understands the supernatural. And they've come to me and asked me if I would disciple them. But they do not believe in the Lord Jesus or the God of the Bible. They're New Age people. But they dream a lot. They have this prophetic gift within them, but they don't know what to do with it, and they don't understand it, but they see things, and they have spiritual power. So they came to me, and they said, and on more than one occasion, I've spent hours talking with them, and they've said, will you mentor me? Because I want what you've got, and I want you to teach me how to understand dreams and how to understand spiritual things and how to deal with people who are hurting. And this they've been asking me for over a year. And I've told them they have all the gift. They're extremely powerful people. I said, but I notice you don't want to serve Jesus or the living God of the Bible. I said, if you don't do that, what you're involved with is witchcraft. That's witchcraft. And I said, yes, I will disciple you. Just give your life to Jesus. Make him the Lord of your life. Then I would gladly train you and teach you. I wish I had a student who loved Jesus, who is as gifted as this person. I'm sure I will have many. I have in the past. You see, the leaven of witchcraft has been put inside of him through the universities. That's where it came into his life. Because this person was raised in a Christian home. But there's coming a day. I want you to start to look with eyes of fire and hear with ears that can hear a car coming from 10 miles away and get lifting your heart to the Lord with expectation and say, Lord, bring the trembling. Because it says here in the scripture that the Jewish people, Israel, will return and seek the Lord. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. It will be like an avalanche of supernatural chaos. The church in Israel and in many people's lives. And people will begin to cry out to God. And you're going to see it. There will be such a trembling in spirit. That's how the revival's going to come. People are going to come to the Lord trembling. They're going to be trembling because the world is falling apart around them. Because their personal world is falling apart. And they've come to the end of themselves. I lost the count of how many people that I led to the Lord, sitting in a chair with them on their knees and their head on my lap, and them crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. Uncontrollable trembling and shaking and coming to the Lord. All of Israel's going to be like that. They will come to the Lord and to his blessings trembling. The whole world, the supernatural power of God is about to release a trembling on the earth. It's a kind of thing that has to do with deep supplication, deep kind of prayer that is in, it's in your stomach. It's like when you have a pain. Have you ever really lost somebody that you felt the physical pain of it in your body? It wasn't just like a mental thing, but your body was in pain because of the rejection or the loss or the abandonment or the failure. I sure have. It's like a twisting, a pain. And people are going to come to the Lord with this kind of trembling. So the move of the Holy Spirit that we've been seeing little bits of over the last 15 or 20 years, you're going to see a lot more of that coming. A lot more of it. You don't need to fake anything. You don't have to laugh to get something happen. You don't have to fall on the ground. You don't have to try to shake. You're thinking that you'll get more anointing if you start doing this. You don't have to put a vibrato in your voice or hyperventilate. You just walk with God because this is the season. First comes a worldwide shaking because of the yeast. But at the end of it comes a different kind of shaking. It's a shaking that starts in your blood and in your heart. It's called the trembling. It's the trembling of the Lord. And people will be coming trembling before the Lord. The whole nation of Israel will be trembling. The nation will vibrate and resonate under the call of God and a healing move of the Holy Spirit. And wait till it comes to the church. We've seen just little pinprick pictures of it, but it will come with power and such anointing. And it will come to your life. And people will, it doesn't mean that you'll be shaking for the rest of your life, like you had Parkinson's or something like that. But for a season of time, it's like the birth time for this revival that is coming. It will come with huge tremblings, global tremblings. It's a move of the Holy Spirit. I want to share this with you. The worldwide shakings because of the leaven, the yeast of darkness in the world that's growing. But also the great trembling that will bring us into revival. A move of the Holy Spirit that you've never seen before. This is just a prelude to our teaching on the book of Revelation that will be starting on June 4th. But I want to pray for you right now. So would you please stand to your feet? I already feel that there is a spirit here of the Lord a spirit that is starting to touch you in a deep way. Because although you don't know what that looks like yet, you don't really understand it all, but you know this is the Lord. And he's coming to do something that's bigger than you. Something that's not based on emotions. But when the power of God comes, if it doesn't affect your emotions, it's probably not the power of God at that level. Because it's just like you can't hold the end of an electrical cord with so many volts going through it without it shaking you up real serious. And that's the power of God. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit now. I want to lead you in a prayer. Would you pray this prayer? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Tonight I dedicate myself to you afresh. Forgive me of my sins. I welcome the power of the Holy Spirit. I welcome the shakings of the Lord. And I welcome your kingdom in my life. I welcome the tremblings of the Holy Spirit. I welcome your power and your healing anointing. I welcome your compassion and goodness. Lord, I know you're about to step your foot on the earth. Before that happens, the whole world will shake and then tremble. Lord, I say yes. Let the trembling of the Holy Spirit move in my family, in my children, in my grandchildren. Let it come to this nation, to the White House. Let it come to the churches and to spread around the world. Lord, we welcome revival in Israel. Bring them back to yourself, Lord, with trembling to their God and to his blessings. We dedicate ourselves to you for this. And we ask that this house, this place, the river place, the ripples of the river would go forth. The trembling of the Holy Spirit would be undeniable. In this place, let it come. We welcome you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your heart. I want to bless you. I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life, physical health into your body. I release the fire of God for more anointing in you, for the work, the prophetic work of the Lord to flow in you. For clear teaching, for the washing away of every wrong motive, and for God's favor and blessings to come on your life and on your family, for you to know his power and his care and his direction, his purpose in your life. I speak it over you now, the blessings on you and yours. In the name of Jesus, amen.